I'm seeing a few blank stares out there. It's that post-lunch. All right. Yes. Shadrach took me out for some KFC. And that chicken sitting right there, you know, sucking my energy. But I want you to give me your energy. I really appreciate you being here. You know, leaders of churches always tell the Bible Talk leaders they are the heart of the ministry. But the reason they say it is because it's true. That's where church happens. Yeah. On the Bible Talk level, that's where the discipling happens. Really, pretty much that's where everything happens. And the role of the leaders, like it says in Ephesians 4, is basically to give the members the things they need in order to make it happen. So anyway, the lesson I'm going to do this afternoon is on freedom in Christ. I don't know about you, but I get fired up about freedom. One of my favorite movies is Braveheart. You remember Braveheart?
Yes.
It says, "Freedom!" Yeah. He just gets excited. Remember he said, "You can take my life, but you'll never take my freedom." I'm excited about freedom. But really, what's so good about freedom? Maybe that's not as easy a question as you think. Everybody wants freedom, right? But why do we want freedom? What's so good about freedom? Somebody? What's so good about freedom? There we go. Yes.
Independence.
All right, freedom is independence. Now that's the definition. All right, that's the definition. I want you to tell me what's so good about freedom.
What's good?
All right, yeah.
Gives you peace.
Peace. Okay, good.
You are yourself at any time, and every time. You are yourself at
you are yourself at any time, okay? Get lots of choices. Again, so far all we're doing is defining freedom. A peace, that's one of the things we get from freedom. Definitely. Yes. You have control. Right. That's the definition of freedom. Yeah. It allows you to experiment. Right. Because if you do something because you have to, how much satisfaction do you get from that? Almost none. It's when you do something because you want to, because you choose to, that's when there's great satisfaction. So really, the question is not whether you have freedom. Really, the question is, what are you doing with your freedom? You know, in America, we're proud of our freedom, and I think we should be. But what are Americans doing with their freedom? Watching football, taking a nice vacation. Really? Is that what freedom is about? What are you doing with the freedom that you have in Christ? You know, I remember in America, it's different from Nigeria, because in America, when you're 18, you go off to college and your parents say, "See you in a few months." And I remember my parents dropped me off at the dorm there, and they said, "See you at Thanksgiving." And it was so awesome. I could do whatever I wanted to. I could come home whenever I wanted to. I could go to class. I could not go to class. Total freedom. But what did I do with my freedom? Smoke marijuana, you know, get drunk. Behave like a fool. What good is that? You know, we have a lot of freedom in Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The class this morning was more Bible study. This will be a little bit more practical Christianity. All right, Galatians 5, 1. It says here, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Now that's kind of odd what Paul says. Paul says the reason God set you free is so that you would be free. You know, why else would he set us free? What's he saying? I think he's saying something like this. In Christ you're free. Really, I'm not kidding. You're actually free. Free from what? Free from sin? True, but that's not what he's talking about in this scripture actually. Free from the law. Free from obligation. Free from have to. I want to give you some good news. You don't have to share your faith. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to encourage one another. What I mean by that, of course, God wants you to do that. Don't take me too far on that. My point is this, you're saved already. So none of these things we do in order to be saved, if we do them at all, it's because we are saved. And there's great freedom in that. You don't have to lead a Bible group. You don't have to go on a mission team. It's a privilege. We have great freedom in Christ. But the question is, what are you doing with your freedom? Let's go down to verse 5 and 6. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Now, for us, circumcision is not the issue. All right? But what he's saying is, you know, whether you obey some law or not is not the point. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. So I have a question for you. What are you doing, not because you have to, but because you love God? It is so much more satisfying, so much more fulfilling in our lives to do things simply because we love God. Let me tell you why I came to Abuja. I came here because I want to. They didn't pay me to come. In fact, nobody asked me to come. I volunteered to come. It's not my job. I'm here because I want to. And there is so much joy in that. We need to celebrate the freedom we have in Christ. Let's go farther down. He tells us what to do with our freedom. In Galatians 5, verse 13 through 15. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So again, the question is this, freedom for what? That's the title of this lesson. Freedom for what? Some of you have been around in the church for 15 or 20 years. You remember in a time when we didn't have quite so much freedom in the church, honestly. Remember having accountability sheets?
Yeah.
And I can remember I prayed for 20 more minutes, not because I love God, but so that I could write it down on the piece of paper. That's not freedom in Christ. I'm not against accountability, by the way, but it should be voluntary accountability. We shouldn't demand it. We should ask people if they're willing to have accountability. And then, so what happened was, because we weren't really given the freedom that God wanted us to have, we became dependent on rules and regulations and being told what to do. So then what happened is we decided as a church, probably telling people what to do all the time is not a good idea. So we stopped telling people what to do all the time, right? And then what happened? People stopped doing what they should have been doing. When I didn't have accountability, I stopped sharing my faith. Oh, now I know why I was sharing my faith. Not because I love God, but in order to satisfy somebody's question they're going to ask me. But that's normal. You know, if parents control their children too much, what happens when the children leave home? They go crazy. Now, that's not good. You don't want to overly control your children, but that's not what this lesson's about. A lot of us, we didn't have as strong of discipling as we used to have. So what did we do? We went out and sinned a lot. Is that what God gave us freedom for? No. According to this passage, what did Jesus give us freedom for? According to this passage. What's it say? To serve one another. Now that's interesting. Basically what God says is, He set us free so that we could be slaves. Slaves of who? Slaves of everybody. Well, that's not freedom. Oh, yes, it is. Voluntary slaves. I choose to serve you. I choose to serve the lost. Let's use marriage as an illustration. Let's say a brother is reading Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your husband. So the husband says to the wife, hey, you submit to me. How's that marriage going to work? Not so good, huh? The brother should have read Ephesians 5:21, where it says, submit to one another. I think a much better idea would be this. The husband says to the wife, how can I serve you? What can I do to give you joy? How can I make your life a joy and a pleasure? I think that sister just might possibly submit to her husband. What are you doing with the freedom you have in Christ? And it really is amazing, the freedom that we have. You know, I think freedom is wasted on some of us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. So, I want to ask you a question. Why do you do the things that you do? It's a pretty basic question. By the way, I would say this. It's better to do the right thing out of obligation than it is to not do it at all. So if you've been doing things out of obligation up till now, don't feel guilty. Just rejoice. You get to do the same thing because you love God. So much more fulfillment. When you pour your entire energy into helping somebody, you see them become a Christian. That is the most joyous thing. You know, at the end of this 25 or 26 days, I don't know, 12 or 13 flights, 10-hour layovers, jet lag, I'm going to get home and I'm going to be so exhausted. Hopefully I won't end up in the hospital this time. But you know what? It is the greatest joy and pleasure that I have. To love you. And to serve you. Because God has loved me and has served me. All right, you're all there. I'm not. 1 Peter chapter 2. Actually, let's start in verse 13. This is a passage we don't really pay much attention to, I think. It says here, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. He says, live as free people. How do free people live? Free people take responsibility for their lives. Free people make their own choices. And then they take responsibility for their choices. But see what he says here? He says, live as free lives and submit yourself to everyone. So interesting. I think Christianity is kind of a strange religion. He gives us freedom so that we might make ourselves slaves. Think about this. Who does the world honor as truly great men and women? Regardless, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever. The people that come to mind are Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi. I think Jesus would make the list. I think he'd make the cut. What do they all have in common? They gave up everything. They gave up their freedom. And God made them great. So what about you? Are you willing to give up your freedom because you want to? Are you willing to serve to make yourself a slave? That's the advice we're being given here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To me, I call 1 Corinthians chapter 9 the Christian Bill of Rights. In America, I have a thing called the Bill of Rights. Do they have something like that here? Freedom of press, freedom of assembly. All right. Hopefully they honor those freedoms. It'd be a good thing if they did. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a great passage. The Christian Bill of Rights. Paul says, "Am I not free?" That's a rhetorical question. Paul says, "Am I not free?" What's the answer?
Yes, he is.
Yes, we're free. Paul could have lived wherever he wanted to. He was free to have a normal job, a normal life, a wife, family. He had freedom to pursue his career, which would have been a lucrative career, I believe. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Paul had the right to expect them to honor him. After all, he'd planted the church. He had a right to be respected and listened to and supported. Paul had many rights. What did he do with those rights? He gave them all up willingly. Let's go down to verse 13. Let's go down to verse 12. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel. Skip down to verse 15. But I have not used any of these rights. And I'm not writing this in the hope that you'll do such things for me. I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. And if not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Paul said, I have a lot of rights, but I'm going to give them all up. Like I said, Paul had a right to have a wife and children. To have a stable life. He gave them all up. To become a wandering preacher. Attacked, persecuted. Do you think he ever felt a sense of regret for the things that he willingly gave up? I think he did. I think every once in a while he was tempted to feel, man, if only I'd lived a normal life. And if you're going to give up a lot for Christ, you're probably going to have those feelings as well. But for Paul, it was worth it. It was so worth it. Because as he neared the end of his life, he could think of the thousands of people that were going to heaven. His life was of such value. Why? Because he gave up his rights. He had a right to be paid. He had every right to be paid. But he said, whatever you do, don't you dare pay me. Because if he was paid to preach, then he'd preach because he was paid to preach. You know, it's hard to work for the church. I'm serious. It's really hard to work for the church. Because for me, I don't work for the church, although a month from now I'm going to start doing it. But for me, when I sit down and have the Bible study with somebody, why am I doing that? Because I want to. You know, when I travel all around the world and spend my own money doing it, why am I doing that? Because I want to. But if you work for the church and you're preaching a lesson or studying the Bible with somebody, am I doing this because it's my job? Out of obligation? Or am I doing it because I love God? That's harder than you think. We need to appreciate those who are willing to make that sacrifice. Right? Now, if I worked for the church in San Diego, would they let me go away for 4 weeks to kind of gallivant around Africa? I don't think so. Alright, so we need to respect those who make that sacrifice, and it is a great sacrifice. You think, well, everybody would think you're awesome. You know, I think for the first 6 months, it's great. Then after that, it's like, it's hard. Paul said, I didn't use any of my rights. He said, I'd rather die. Now, let's read on. He says, though I am free, right? We're free. You didn't have to come to this meeting. I sure hope you came to this meeting because you love God. If you're here because you had to, and I'm sure some of you that's the case, it's okay. But wouldn't it be better if you came here just because you want to see people become a Christian? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't it be better to have faith expressing itself through love? Wouldn't that be better? That's what God wants us to have. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. See that? I'm free. I belong to no one. But what's he say? I make myself a slave to who? Everyone. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, although I am not under the law. So it's the windows under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So is the windows not having the law. To the Igbo, I became like Igbo. Alright? Even though I laugh at the Igbo, I became like them anyway. To win the Igbo. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. See, this is a common passage. We read this one a lot, but I think we forget to read the last verse. Why does he do this? That's where the blessings come from. A lot of us are missing out on the blessings that God has for us. Because we're working out of obligation. We're doing it because we have to. Let's move away from have to Christianity to get to Christianity. So much better. I'm telling you, I enjoy my Christianity. I refuse to not enjoy it, in fact. It's because I'm free in Christ. All right, let's go to another passage. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I've got a question while we're turning there. How many of you are in the ministry? Raise your hand if you're in the ministry. Now, wait a minute. Help me out. I thought this was a Christian church.
Yeah, I wanted that.
I thought all of us, when we became Christians, were made ministers of reconciliation. I thought God was making his appeal through us, not through the person we pay. Let me ask that question again, okay? Let me ask that question again. How many of you are in the ministry? All right, good. Now put your hand down. Now, how many of you are in the full-time ministry? Come on! Full-time ministry! Alright? You see, I think we've gone wrong on this a little bit. We've forgotten that we're all ministers. I'm a full-time minister, and I get paid by the state of California to do it. They think they pay me to be a chemistry professor. They don't realize they're paying me to come here and preach to you. Full-time minister. Well, if I'm a minister, then what's my ministry then? All right, well, let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's find out. Ephesians 2. All right. Yeah, you know this whole thing about these denominations, they have clergy and laity. I think that's crept into our church. We expect the minister to do the work. That's not good. The job of the leaders is to give the equipment. They're equippers. They're equippers of the saints. Ephesians 4, you can read that later. I don't have time for that now. All right, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Brothers and sisters, we're saved by grace, not by works. How do you feel about that? You're not even excited. You're bored about it. All right. Let me. All right. Let me start over again. We're saved by grace, not by works. How do you feel about that? Oh, man, what a relief that is. So whatever you do it because you're saved. You're not like on a treadmill. Yeah, a couple days ago, I was running on the treadmill. Running, running, running. How far am I getting? Nowhere. That's what it's like to live a works salvation. And works salvation doesn't work anyway. You're free in Christ. But then what's verse 10 say? We're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. God has a work for you to do. You don't have to do it. Got that? You don't have to do it. But He wants you to do it. And He knows you'll be happy if you do it. So what is your ministry then? I tell you what I think your ministry is. I think your ministry is to use the gift that He gave you. All of us have gifts. Maybe your gift is engineering. Maybe your gift is accounting. Maybe your gift is encouraging. Maybe your gift is giving. Maybe your gift is leadership. Maybe it's evangelism. Music. Now, my gift, I believe it anyway, is teaching. So I decided about 20, 25 years ago, teaching is going to be my ministry. And I tell you right now, I give a lot of energy to using my gift. And because I'm using the gift that He gave me, God can use me to do great things. That's what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example, kind of a silly example. Let's say your gift is fixing cars. How do you know your gift is fixing cars? Because you love fixing cars. I mean, you can fix anything. So I now pronounce you car fixing minister. And you're going to start the car fixing ministry. Every Saturday morning, free car fixing clinic, open to all. The only requirement is you have to come to church. I think you'll have visitors every single week to church. And the thing is, they're going to take your car in, and you love fixing cars. You got dirt all over your hands, and you love that kind of stuff. You got to think big. Through your car fixing ministry, 5 years from now, there's going to be 6 people who are baptized into Christ. Amen. Just because you love cars and you have the car fixing ministry. Let's think big. 10 years from now, they're going to have a car fixing ministry in Wari, and they're going to have a car fixing ministry in Lagos and in Port Harcourt. And 15 years from now, we're going to have the car fixing ministry conference right here in Abuja. And you're going to be the main speaker. I'm kind of kidding, but not really. We've got to think big. Maybe your gift is counseling. Then I say you need to become a Christian counselor. You might have to get some education to do it. And if somebody tells you to stop using your gift, that's one piece of advice not to take. I'll tell you, when I was writing my first book, that was, I don't know, about 20 years ago, the brother, my ministry leader, I said, "Hey, yeah, I'm writing a book." He said, "Who asked you to write a book?" Well, excuse me for using my gift to serve God. I didn't listen to that brother. The funny thing is, about 12 years later, he came up to me. He said, "Brother, I am so sorry I said that to you." Amen, bro. It's cool. My wife's gift is planning activities. She loves it. Let me give an illustration. This is from a really, really, really old movie. I don't know. Maybe Chariots of Fire. Remember? Remember that one? There's the main actor. He's a sprinter in the Olympics. Very, very devoted believer. And one line in the movie, he said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." What is it for you? For me, when I teach, I feel God's pleasure. Because God made me to teach, so I'm a minister of teaching. My wife's gift is organizing events. I remember a few years ago, my wife said to me, "We used to have like fun activities on a regular basis. We haven't had one for years. Now, what would most of us do about that?" "Oh, our leaders, they're doing a lousy job. What's wrong with them? Blah, blah, blah." Not my wife. So she planned a barn dance, like a Western barn dance. All right? So she found the location. She hired the teacher. She arranged for the decorations, for the food. All the leaders had to do was come and have fun. Now, I hope your evangelist has the gift of evangelism. So what should the church free him up to do? Is that what Shadrach is doing? Or is he having to plan all the events and I don't know, do the song leading, all that kind of stuff? If that's what's going on, you're blowing it. That is not good. Alright? He loves sharing his faith. So let him get up on campus and share his faith. Shouldn't have to do all the counseling. We need people whose gift is counseling to raise up and become elders. And elders' wives. So anyway, just a few months later, my wife said to me, "We used to have a banquet every year for the marrieds. We haven't had one for years." Again, what would most of us do about that? "Oh, man, that was so much better. They're spending their money on this, that, and the other thing." Not my wife. "So she organized a huge banquet for all the marrieds. And our ministry was singles. We had nothing to do with the marrieds ministry. She found the location, door prizes, entertainment. We had the singles do the babysitting. That's pretty awesome." And again, all the leaders had to do was show up and have a good time. And then just a few months later, my wife said to me, "You know what? We have a lot of Spanish speakers at our service, and they don't even understand the lesson. We need to get equipment for the Spanish speakers." Well, you can guess what she did. So she organized a tamale sale. You don't know what tamales are. It's some kind of Mexican food. I'm telling you, I got cramps in my fingers for making tamales. We made $900 selling tamales. It's a lot of money. And then there was a sister who came that day. She was kind of on the fringe, not a very strong Christian. She was so encouraged, she wrote out a check for $1,000. And we got that equipment. And then just a few months later, I'm not lying, my wife said to me, "You know what? We've never had a Christian rock concert." That's true. I guess we never had one of those. She said, "We need to have a Christian rock concert." So she calls up Brian Craig. He wrote a lot of the songs we sing. She said, "Brian, have you ever done a Christian rock concert?" He said, "No." "Well, do you want to do one?" "I guess so." So she found the location, you know, got the tickets, got everything going, and we had a Christian rock concert. And I could go on and on and on. Because when my wife organizes events for the Lord, she feels His pleasure. And I'm telling you, she is tireless. But, you know, I want you to have a vision. I want you to go away from here thinking, what is my gift? And what am I going to do with that gift? If you're less than 25 years old, you may not even know what your gift is. So my suggestion is, just do a lot of things. And at some point you're going to say, wow, that is awesome. I love doing that. It's probably your gift, but maybe not. For example, if you think your gift is singing, ask somebody if you can sing, all right? Maybe you're deceived about that. I don't know. By the way, some people say, oh, that's not my gift, so I'm not going to do it. No, don't go that far. My gift is not giving, so I'm not going to give. Well, you know, I don't go that far. But I'm serious. If your gift is sports, then why don't you start a sports league? Don't wait for the leaders to do it. Why should your leader be organizing a sports league? You're the one who loves doing it. I believe if we had a church where everyone was a minister, a full-time minister, using their gifts, the church would grow.
Yeah.
It would grow a lot.
Yep.
I believe that's God's vision for the church. All right, well, I'm kind of excited about that scripture. Let's see, what's my next scripture? I can't remember. All right. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. I'll skip that one. You know, a few years ago, I was in San Diego. We were having a meeting. They brought together kind of the opinion leaders in the church. Not the staff, but the mature non-staff people, just trying to get some feedback on what they thought the church needed to do. And one of the brothers, it was his turn, he said, I think we need some more leadership training. And I had my turn. I said, yeah, that'd be nice. But I think we need membership training. We've got some lousy members. They're doing a bad job. We need some membership training. So I got serious about that, and I wrote a book. It's called Golden Rule Membership. There's a couple copies back there. And I have a 4 or 5 part outline on what it takes to be a good member. All right, and everybody here, as far as I know, is a member of the church. They probably wouldn't make you a Bible Talk leader unless you're a member of the church, okay? Now, some of these are so obvious, I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to say much. Point number one is willingly offer yourself to God. In other words, a good member is going to stay close to God. You shouldn't need a sermon telling you to have a quiet time. Not if you've been in the church for a while. You know, so taking personal responsibility for staying close to God. But that's obvious, so I'm not going to spend time on that. Point number two, offering yourself as a minister. In other words, what I've just been talking about, which is each member in the ministry full time, using their gift, whatever it might be, to serve the Lord. By the way, in the bad old days, there were really only two gifts that we honored. That was the gift of leadership and the gift of evangelism. That wasn't right. Every gift is equally important. If your gift is crafts and making beautiful things, that is just as important. It won't have as public a role. You may not get as much praise, but I'm telling you, in God's eyes, just as important. Some of our gifts are more suited to reaching out to others outside. Others of our gifts are more suited to taking care of those inside the church. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. You know, it is what it is. All right? Anyway, point number three is willingly offering yourself to your leaders. All right? That's where that golden rule leadership thing comes in. You know the golden rule, treat others the way you want to treat them. You might know Gordon Ferguson. He wrote a book called Golden Rule Leadership. Their principle was the leaders should treat the members the way they want to be treated if they're a member. That's a great idea. I'm going to turn it around. I say the members should treat the leaders the way they'd want to be treated if you were the leader. Okay? For example, if you were the leader and if you called people to do something, what would you want them to do? You'd want them to do it. So if your leader calls you to whatever, you know, whatever the theme is for the year, get behind it. I don't know about you, but I want to have a leader who's going somewhere. Right? But the leader can't take you somewhere if they're constantly having to look back because somebody's biting them in the back or somebody's not following. All right? I noticed Shadrach worried about who's coming into the meeting. It turns out the attendance is pretty good. It's looking pretty good, actually. Amen. Show up on time. A little bit better showing up on time, but we won't worry about that right now. Okay? You know, I like the passage. Let me see. I got to get to the right place in my outline. I don't know where it is in my outline. It's in Judges. Judges chapter 5, verse 2. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. All right. Judges chapter 5, verse 2. It's interesting, the context of this passage, this is Deborah. And apparently, there is a situation in Israel where the men weren't stepping up and leading. So Deborah stepped up and took the lead. God said, amen, go for it, Deborah. Because if the men aren't going to lead, then the women should lead. Wow, that's quite a teaching. But anyway, that's not why I'm reading this. It says, when the princes of Israel take the lead, and when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, do your leaders ever make mistakes? Yeah. You say, yeah, I can list them. Give me a piece of paper. I'll write them down.
Yeah.
All right? Should you correct them every time they make a mistake? I don't know. If you were the leader, would you want 50 phone calls a week telling you how terrible a job you're doing and all the stuff you're doing is wrong? I don't think so. Remember Golden Rule membership. But you know, sometimes you have to say something. Seriously.
Yeah.
Sometimes your heart and your conscience doesn't allow you to not say something. So you know what you should do? You should say something. But let me give you a suggestion. Brother, this decision you've made, I don't agree with it. And let me tell you why. But I tell you this, I'm going to support you 100%. See that? I don't agree, but I want you to know, I'm going to support you 100%. And I was in the church in Ho Chi Minh City, I mentioned earlier. They had a meeting. They were going to plant a church in another city in Vietnam. And they said, anyone who's willing to give up their job and go to this place, look for a job and plant the church, come to this meeting. 2/3 of the church showed up. That's the kind of church I want to be part of. Now, they're almost all singles, all right? So, you know, a little context there. I mean, those of you with a family and children, probably you can't move next month to some city. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. But if the leaders say, we need somebody to go here, I think you ought to offer yourself to go there. Or if you can't, say, I'm going to help find somebody who will. I really believe that when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. In fact, Hebrews 13:17, it's still in my Bible. It's still there. I haven't heard it preached in a long time. I think it's because the members don't want to hear it preached. Well, I'm not your leader, so I'm going to read it to you. If Shadrach got up here and read Hebrews 13:17 to you, you might feel like, yeah, well, gee, you're the leader. So here we go. Hebrews 13:17. It says this. Submit to your leaders. Obey your leaders, rather, and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who will give an account. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. Your job, if you're willing to accept it, is to make your leader's work a joy.
Yeah.
How you doing on that? The last year, how'd you do on that? Member of the church, did you make your Bible Talk leader's work a joy? Bible Talk leader, did you make your sector leader's work a joy, etc.? Why should you do that? Because you have to? No, you don't have to. I'm telling you right now, you don't have to. We have freedom in Christ. But do it anyway. Who's hurt if you don't support what the leadership's trying to do? According to this passage. You are. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Alright? So point number three or four, I can't remember which point I was on, is willingly submit yourself to the leaders. Point number four, willingly submit yourself to one another. That's that discipling. Alright? We've had plenty of lessons on discipling. So point number one, willingly give yourself to God. Point number two, willingly give yourself as a minister. Point number three, willingly give yourself to the leaders. Point number four, willingly give yourselves to one another. And last but not least, I'm almost done here, is willingly give yourself to the work of the church. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. You're saying, Haggai? Where's Haggai? Where the heck is Haggai? All right. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Man, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai. Ah, Haggai. Right before Zechariah, right? There it is. Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Almost done here. I hear the children making sound in the background. That's normal. Yep. Let's go for it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came to me through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains ruined? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with a hole in it. You know, God wants us to build the temple. These people were making excuses. He said, we're too busy. God says, I'm not fooled. You have plenty of time to add an addition to your house. You seem to be able to save up for your retirement. You seem to take care of your own stuff. And you know, some of us, we earn money and it's like we have holes in our pockets. There's a reason for it, maybe. Maybe because God is waiting to bless you, but you're not trusting Him. I want to speak to the men. We men are builders. That's just the way God made us. You know, we're like Caleb. We want to take that hill. Amen. Do it. And as a man, you have a responsibility to take care of your family. I get it. You know, and in order to build God's temple, you can't ignore the needs of your family. Absolutely. God totally understands that. But you know what? You need to use your building strength to build the church as well. Amen. What's the solution? If you read the next verse, it says, here's what you need to do. You need to go up into the mountains, bring down some wood, and build my house. We need to give ourselves to the work of building up the church. Now, I don't have time for Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. So I want to end here. Let's end in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're getting a little antsy in our seats right now. I would be if I was you. I'm not sitting in a seat, so my butt's not sore. I'm doing good. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You know, I could have done the entire lesson just on these two verses, because this summarizes everything I had to say. Whatever your gift is, you need to use it with all the energy you have. Why? Because you want to. Why? Because it pleases God. Because the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. So in this lesson, I've declared to you what you already knew, which is you are free in Christ. You are free in Christ. No more obligation. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But you get to. What does God want you to do with your freedom? He wants you to make yourself a voluntary slave. And I believe if you do that, God will make you full of joy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
Feedbacks. Feedbacks. Once again, let's appreciate.
I think they're tired.
So we want some feedbacks.
They need to be set free.
Leader or people.